We're going through the book of Proverbs.
I know it's the Sunday before Christmas, and we'll get to that in the main service here this morning. But we're going through the book of Proverbs, and the theme of the first 9 chapters of Proverbs is wisdom. I'm sure that doesn't surprise anybody. But we are seeing in the book of Proverbs that Solomon is instructing his son, starting from a very young age, and then we see his son growing up as we proceed through the book of Proverbs. He talks about wisdom. He'll talk about wine, women, work, wealth. We're going to see that as we go through the book of Proverbs. It's a father instructing his son on the things necessary to succeed in this life. Now, when we say teaching his son to succeed, he doesn't teach him about education. He doesn't teach him about the things that society today would deem so important. And he begins in the first 9 chapters about teaching him about wisdom. The Bible said that wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Wisdom is the principal thing. How often do we pray for wisdom? Usually we're praying for all kinds of things. Wisdom's on a back burner if it's even brought up. But without wisdom, we can't make right decisions in anything else we do. So wisdom is the principal thing according to God. We ought to seek after it. We ought to pray for it. We ought to desire it. So as we've been looking at wisdom in chapter 1, we saw wisdom's plea. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the street. She crieth in the chief place. Wisdom is crying out, wanting people to receive her. Wisdom is personified. But people are rejecting wisdom. They'd rather have the other things that life has to offer instead of wisdom itself. In chapter 2, we saw wisdom's protection. Wisdom's protection. If thou wilt receive my word, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, yea, if thou criest after knowledge, thou seekest her as silver. Talks about protection from verse 11. Discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. That was chapter 2. In chapter 3, we've been looking at wisdom's path. Wisdom's path. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, verse 5 says, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Wisdom will keep us from making wrong decisions. Wisdom will help us to make right decisions, and in the long run, that helps us with our life. We've been emphasizing, a common phrase is, don't sweat the little things, don't sweat the small things. Proverbs is telling us exactly the opposite, that the little things are what make the big things. It's the little decisions that we so often blow aside that have big repercussions later because they build up and mount up. So yes, we should sweat the little things. We should be careful in all things and make all things a matter of prayer. So we're looking now at the path, and we've looked already, and you'll see that we've filled out the outline if you just got it this morning. Number 1 was it is a pleasant path, and that was verse 1 to 20, and I'll not go through all the things we covered there. Then on the back of the page, it is a peaceful path, verse 21 to 26. And that brings us this morning to section number 3. And that is, it is a positive path. Wisdom's path is a positive path. Beginning in verse number 27, Proverbs says this, withhold not good from them to whom it is due when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give thee when thou hast it by thee. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing that he dwelleth securely by thee. Strive not with a man without cause if he have done thee no harm. Envy thou not the oppressor and choose none of his ways. For the froward is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. We're going to notice 2 things. There's 2 sections in here. Verse 27 to verse 31 are one section, verse 32 to verse 35. And we're going to see that by the appearance of a certain word. In verse 27 to verse 31, notice the word not. The word not. It says in verse 27, withhold not. Verse 28, say not. Verse 29, devise not. Verse 30, strive not. Verse 31, envy not. Envy thou not. Letter A in our outline this morning is that it's a positive path as stated in commands. These are commands. Withhold not, say not, devise not, strive not, envy not. Those are commands. They are negative commands. Just like the Ten Commandments. 8 out of the Ten Commandments are thou shalt not. You know, it's interesting to note, and we're going to see it here in these verses, that God never gives an explanation when He says don't. And I find that interesting because that kind of counters our modern philosophy. They tell us nowadays that if you're going to tell your children no, you have to explain to them why you're telling them no. But God never does that. God says, thou shalt not. He doesn't say, thou shalt not, or if you do, then, or thou shalt not because this. He just says, no, don't. And I think that's very instructional. We raise our children just by saying, don't touch that. It's on now. After Sunday school. Sorry about that. All right. So the commandments of God are simply thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. We don't get explanations. The speed limit on the road says 55 or 65. It doesn't say why. It doesn't take the time to explain the consequences. You know the consequences because if you've ever gone faster and the policeman has caught you, you know what it is. But there's no explanation given. All right? God's the same way. He simply says this. Don't, He said, withhold not, say not, devise not, strive not, envy thou not. He tells us, He gives us commands without lengthy explanations as to why or why not we should do it. And now those are the commands of God. They are negative commands, but they're really positive. Because when you obey the commands of God, there's safety in them. There's protection in them. Thou shalt not commit adultery. That's not to restrict us. That's to protect us. Thou shalt not bear false witness. That's not to... You say, well, I'm not allowed to lie. No, God's protecting one another by doing that. All the commands of God are to protect us. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Is not a restriction, it's a protection. And so here we have some commands stated here beginning in verse 27. The first command in verse 27, withhold not good from them to whom it is due and is in the power of thine hand to do it. We're going to call this don't defer. D-E-F-E-R. Don't defer. Don't put off. Don't pass the buck. Don't defer. It says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Withhold not. It says, withhold not good. Now, we being 21st, 22nd century Americans now, the minute we see anything like that, we put dollar signs on it. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is thy power to do it. I remember a man years ago when I was in missions work giving me some money, and I said, why are you doing that? He said, I just read Proverbs 3:27, and I have the ability to give it to you, and so I'm giving. That's a practical application of that verse. But it encompasses much more than just money. The Bible says, give honor to whom honor is due. All right, give it to them when it's in your power to do it. If our modern society would give honor to whom honor is due, we'd get along with each other much better. If we would honor those that you know, you say, honor is not, respect is earned, honor is commanded. We are to honor all men. We're to honor the king. You know, there have been some kings and there have been some presidents down through time that didn't deserve our respect. But God said we're still to honor them. It displeases me when I hear people that do not honor those in authority. Whether we agree with them or not, we still give them the honor that's due their position. The honor that's due their name. Because if we don't honor them there, we don't honor a whole lot of other things in other places too. That's just a sign. That's just an indication that we have a problem with giving honor to whom honor is due. The Bible says, withhold not honor to them to whom it is due, when it is in thy power to do it. There's some verses I want to give you that run parallel with this. You might just write them down. I'll turn to them or you can turn with me. First one is in James chapter 2. James chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. And the Bible says this about this thing about withholding not good from them to whom it is due when it is in thy power of thine hand to do it. James 2:15 says, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace and be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? When you see somebody that's got a need and you have the ability to need it and you simply say, well, brother, I'll be praying for you, that doesn't honor God. We sound spiritual, well, I'll pray for you, but we know at the same time we have the ability to help them out in whatever it is. Again, it doesn't have to be a financial thing. It could be something they need assistance in, help in, you know, moving, whatever it might be, and we have the ability to help, but we don't want to inconvenience ourselves. So we simply say on the spiritual side, well, I'll be praying for you. I'll pray something. I'll pray somebody help. Or why don't you call so-and-so? Call this person or that person. Or why don't you call the church? You know, that's what they're for. They're to help people out. It says, withhold not good for whom it is due when it is the power of thine hand to do it. Don't defer. Don't pass it off to someone else. 1 John chapter 3, verse 17. 1 John 3:17, but whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? When we can meet that need but don't do it. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. We are to be a help to others whenever it is possible for us to help. Now, there's times that we're destitute. We're not the one that can help somebody else. That's fine. But when we can, we ought to. You know why? Because you reap when you sow. If you're a help to someone else in their time of need, then God's going to raise someone else to be a help to you in your time of need. So we're not to defer. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due. Number two, verse number 28, say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give it when thou hast it by thee. Don't delay. Don't delay. The first one is don't defer. Don't pass it off on someone else to do it. The second one is don't delay. I read a story of a businessman who was defrauding other people. And he owed money to a certain person and he kept putting him off. He died an untimely death out in public when he was there, and when they picked up his body, his pockets were all packed full of money. He had the money to help the person. He had the money to do the honest business deal, but he was just putting it off. He was hanging on to the money as long as he possibly could. The Bible says, say not to thy neighbor, go and come again. Tomorrow I will give when thou hast it by thee. Don't delay. I'm reminded of the story in Luke chapter 11. You remember this? The man has a stranger come to visit him and he's got nothing to offer him. So he goes to his neighbor's house and he knocks on the door and it's past bedtime. He knocks on the door and says, someone has come to me. Come and rise and give me some bread so I have something to give to feed them because I have nothing. And the man says, I've laid down with my children. I'm in my bed with my wife and my family. Go away. Don't come. But because of his importunity, because he keeps knocking and knocking and knocking, the Bible says that man will rise up and give to him what he needs. That man was trying to say to his neighbor, go and come back at another time, when he had it with himself to be able to meet the need of that person. Again, our biggest sin, folks, is pride, is selfishness, and being put out of our comfort zone, being put out of what we want to do, and rising up for someone else when they're in need, when we have everything just in our box just the way we want it. But that's what sacrifice is all about. by putting ourselves out for someone else. And that's what he's talking about here. Say not to thy neighbor, go and come again. Tomorrow I will give when thou hast it by thee. You know, the old thing is you used to go to the neighbor and borrow a cup of sugar, whatever it was, cup of coffee, whatever. And that's the whole thing. If you have it and you can meet a need, then go ahead and meet it. Don't delay. Verse 29. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth by thee. And that's obviously don't devise. Don't manipulate. Don't plan. Devise not evil against thy neighbor. You know, that's a positive path. Getting along with your neighbor is a good thing to do. Because when you don't get along with your neighbors, that's kind of a miserable life. If you've ever had the kind of neighbors that you just couldn't, no matter how hard you try, you couldn't get along with, that's kind of tough. So we do whatever we can. We devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. The classic story in the Bible, I guess, is in 1 Kings chapter 21, where Ahab desired the vineyard of Naboth because it was right next to his vineyard. But Naboth had inherited that from his father and his father's father, and he told Ahab, I'm not going to give that up. That's my inheritance. I'm not going to sell it. I'm not going to give it up. And Ahab, if you know the story, went in and laid on his bed with his face toward the wall, moping and complaining. And his wife Jezebel came in and saw him in such a state and said, what's the matter? And he told her the problem. So she went out and hired accusers, false accusers against Naboth. They had a feast. They raised him up. They accused him of blasphemy. By the end of it, he was taken out to the field and he was stoned to death. Jezebel came in to Ahab and said, all right, the field you want is now available. The owner thereof is dead. Rise and go out and take your inheritance. Devising evil against thy neighbor. Now, we might not do it to such an extent, but boy, their neighbors have gotten over fights. That fence is on my property line. Get that fence off my property line. Whatever it might be. Where you're parking is on my property. Get over on your property. Neighbors can fight over the silliest and the smallest of things. And the Bible says in Proverbs, remove not the ancient landmarks. And that's talking about how back in Bible days they had their property lines set out. Now they use kind of pegs with little flags on it. Back then they used stones, and the stones were easy to move. And they go out and move the stone just a little bit this way or that way. One of the local churches in this area had a long legal battle a couple of years ago because they put an air conditioner out on their property within so many feet of somebody else's property. I don't know the whole story how it went, but there was a big legal battle over all that little property line and where the air conditioner sat. Devise not evil, it says, against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Our neighbors ought to be our protection. I know out where I live, outside of town, out in the more in the country, but we have neighbors on either side, a little bit of a distance on one side and a neighbor across. I'm glad they're there, because sometimes it stops people from coming to our house if they might be considering that, going to our house to do something dastardly. Because they know somebody might see them that's around there. And our neighbors are good with talking each other and saying, I saw a car at your house the other day and just checking, and that's good. I appreciate that. And we need to get along. And that's what the Bible's saying. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Don't devise. Verse 30. Strive not with a man without cause, if he have done thee no harm. Don't dispute. These things kind of be building up, don't they? Don't dispute. Strive not with a man. There are those that just like to pick a fight. Those that like to be ornery. Contrary. Don't be one of those. Strive not with a man without cause. I'm glad those two words are in there, aren't you? Without cause. It says, if he have done thee no harm. That doesn't eliminate the need of self-defense. It says, strive not with a man without cause if he had done thee no harm. We hear all the time about situations going on in our society where people have to defend themselves. And our government, to a big extent, there's big pushes to eliminate the ability for average citizens to defend themselves. And I've often, as I've heard of these different things, tried to put myself in the place of those people and said, what would I do if that happened? I'm thankful, I praise the Lord, that none of those things have ever happened to me, but I thought if that happened and I was in that situation, what would I do? Would I be able? And the Bible simply says this, strive not with a man without cause, if he hath done thee no harm. Now, we don't want to emphasize the self-defense part as much as emphasizing the fact that don't be the antagonist. Don't be the one that's trying to stir the people up and get them angry and cause them to do different things. Don't dispute. Strive not with a man without cause. Don't be troublesome. Don't be quarrelsome. Some folks just like to argue. No, they don't. Oh, you like to argue all the time. No, I don't. They're just that way. So the Bible says don't dispute. Number 5, verse number 31. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. Don't desire. Don't desire the ways of the oppressor. Now, who's the oppressor? Any of those that want to use their position, their influence, their authority, their standing to put someone else down because of it. Modern society is full of people like that. The rich and the famous many times are the oppressors. Those that scream the most for justice are the biggest oppressors. I saw something recently, and I don't remember, it was one of the football players. I don't remember who he is, but he went and gave $11,000-something to some charity or this thing or that thing. Some other fellow, I don't remember who he is, went into Walmart and paid off all the layaways so people in his town could go and pick him up. Those are wonderful things. But you know what? That $11,000 to the guy that makes $3.5 million a year is like you giving 25 cents. It's really not that much. I mean, I'm all for them because we hear the athletes and those with so much doing so many other things. It's nice to hear somebody doing something charitable, especially this time of season. But remember that those that have, and those that don't. Now that's not a complaint. That's a part of life. Jesus said, the poor you have with you always. And you make your way through life. But no, there's going to be those that oppress others. Those that because of their position, their authority, their wealth, whatever it is, are going to lord it over others. And the Bible simply says this, envy thou not the oppressor. Don't envy those that are like that. Don't envy those that have those things. Because those things usually are a snare. Those things usually cause pride. Those things don't lend themselves to humility. So we ought not to envy the oppressor and choose none of his way. David had that problem. Can I tell you that? David? You know who I'm talking about? King David, the man after God's own heart. He had a problem with envying them. Look at you can write it down, Psalms chapter 73, or Psalm 73, and verse number 3. Psalm 73, 3, David said this, For I was envious at the foolish, when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. I was envious. He said, I envied them. Most of the television programs promote envy. The lifestyles of the rich and the famous. The Kardashians or whoever the other families are that are out there that live in luxury and live in comfort. And I don't know, I've never watched those shows, but I don't know that they show them ever getting up and going to work in the morning or not. Because they have a life that just is unreal. It's not like that. And we're not to envy that. That's what Solomon is saying here. Envy thou not the oppressor. Psalm 37, 1. Psalm 37, 1 says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Don't envy those because of those things that they have. Envy thou not the oppressor. So, as stated in commands, verse 27 to 31, and then letter B, as stated in contrasts. We need to go through these in the next few minutes. As stated in contrast, the key word in verse 27 to 31 was not. Withhold not. Say not. Devise not. Strive not. Envy thou not. But the key word in verse 32 to verse 35 is in the middle of each verse. For the froward is an abomination to the Lord, but his seeker is with the righteous. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. Now we have not commands, but we have contrasts. We have principles that are given to us. And the first principle in verse number 32 is the principle of revelation. The principle of revelation. The froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret, God's secret, is with the righteous. I like that. The froward is an abomination. We've seen this word froward already. It was back in chapter 2, verse number 12 and verse number 15. And the word froward is simply, it's not forward. It's not forward. It's froward. It's knowing the right direction to go, but not going it. That's where froward is, all right? Not forward, but froward. Going, knowing the right direction, knowing what forward is, but not going in that direction. You're familiar with the great missionary Adoniram Judson? In history, one of the greatest missionaries ever, one of the most spiritual men that ever lived. But when he was younger, when he was 19, he went off to Providence College. He went off to study for the ministry to serve God. He made a friend while he was in college named Jacob Ames. And Jacob was an atheist. And Jacob was a vile man. But he was very charismatic. He had personality. He had the gift of gab. He was an orator. And Adoniram Judson at a young age was mesmerized by Jacob Ames and his ability to enjoy life and to have fun. And it wasn't too long till Adoniram Judson had become froward. He knew the right direction. He knew the right path. But he started following Jacob Ames in that direction. One summer, as he was off for Providence College, he decided to travel through the north. And as he's traveling, he stopped at an inn. And when he stopped at the inn, he asked the innkeeper, "Do you have any rooms?" He said, "I don't. I've only got one room available, and it's right next to a man that's dying." And he said, "I don't know if it'll be comfortable for you to leave in that room at night." So he said, "Well, I'll take it." So he went in that room that night. And as he laid there, he could hear this man in the next room next to him as nightfall begin to moan, begin to cry out. And whatever his sickness, his illness was overcoming him. And he began to just curse and blaspheme God and cry out and just suffer immensely. And this got a hold of Adoniram Judson's heart. As he heard that man going through that and knowing that he was following in that direction, he got under great conviction. He couldn't sleep. He sweat the night out. And finally, about 2 or 3 in the morning, everything got silent. And he went down the next morning and asked the innkeeper, he said, "What happened?" He said, "Well, that young man died about 3 o'clock in the morning. It's such a shame. He was such a nice young man. His name was Jacob Ames." And it turned out that the one that Adoniram Judson was idolizing and following was the one that died with such agony and such pain as an atheist, and that got Adoniram Judson back on the right road. And he went off to Burma as a missionary and served the Lord for many, many years and learned the lifestyle and the language and translated their Bible and all that. The Bible says this, and he said, "For the froward is an abomination." That word froward is in Proverbs 15 times. And that's what Solomon is emphasizing to his young son. "I'm teaching you the way of wisdom, son. I'm teaching you the way to walk. Don't depart from it. Don't be froward. Because the froward is an abomination." The word abomination appears 20 times in Proverbs. A father teaching his son about the way of the froward and the way of abomination because it's displeasing to God. The froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. The Bible says in Daniel that God revealeth his secrets unto his servants. You and I have a view on life that most people don't understand or don't comprehend. If you read your Bible daily and you attend church and you try to live right and please God in all that you do, God gives you a perception that the average person doesn't have. You have a perception that those with the highest IQs don't have. Albert Einstein is the one that said, the great mathematician, "I can't believe in a God that's not a mathematical formula." When you and I know God, we get the secrets of God. We understand the things of God, while the world around us doesn't. That's why we have a whole different concept of life than society does, because we see it through a different lens. We see it through the lens of the Word of God and the will of God. The principle of revelation, quickly, number 2, the principle of retribution. The principle of retribution. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. We don't have time to go through much of this, but if you read through Samuel or Kings or Chronicles, you'll find all these kings that rose up over Israel and over Judah, and it'll say of many of them, and he did those things that were pleasing in the sight of the Lord, or he walked in the way, in the evil ways of his father. There was two distinct paths. They either did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, as did David his father, or they walked in the evil ways of Ahab or the kings of Israel, things like that. There's two distinct ways. There's no middle ground. And the Lord is simply saying this, the curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Let's make sure that our house is not the house of the wicked. That our habitation is the habitation of the just. And number three, the principle of reproach. The principle of reproach. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. He scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. You know, about the same time that our country was going through the American Revolution, there was a similar revolution in France, the French Revolution. But the French Revolution was completely the opposite of the American Revolution. The American Revolution happened because people came over to America from Europe wanting freedom of religion, wanting to worship God. The French Revolution happened because a bunch of folks that were atheists, and again, I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, we see the rise of atheism in our culture and our country right now. Don't be taken back. Don't be surprised. That's just the cycle, the circle that goes around all the time. There have been times in history where society as a whole was much more atheistic than it is right now in our day. Don't let those things frighten you. And back in France, it was that. They went down and tore out every church, tore down every steeple, tore down every cross they could find. One common man was out there and said, "Why are you doing this?" He said, "We're tearing down everything that reminds you of God." And that wise little man said, "You're going to have to tear down the stars. Because even the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." There's the reproach of God. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace to the lowly. And finally, number four, there is the principle of recompense. Number four, the principle of recompense. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. Again, we think of the law of reaping and sowing. You reap what you sow. The Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When we fear the Lord, we shall inherit glory. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. God will recompense to a man according to his ways. The path, we're talking about the path of wisdom. Next week we'll continue in chapter 4 again. We'll continue on through chapter 5 looking at wisdom's path. Father, thank you for the time we could spend together.